Show. Good to have you with us here on the program. A lot of times people say, well, you do a talk show. What do you talk about? I mean, you get out and see people? Do you pay attention to the news? Well, is it serious or is it humorous? And so it's both. We talk about serious issues, but we also keep a good sense of humor, which I'll remind you, drives the other side nuts. They want you to be miserable and hiding in fear and just demoralized and stuck in the corner. I wake up in the morning. I use the Cal Thomas suggested way of doing things. You read the Bible and the New York Times every day, so you know what each side is doing. That kind of helps. He says that's his quote. I'll keep it attributed to him. Anyway, one of the people who has a great spirit about him, even though he deals with very, very heavy issues and often writes in a way you go, well, Joel, how did you know that? Because it happened. You wrote fiction and then suddenly it happened. Talking about Joel C. Rosenberg, who is the New York Times best-selling author of 12 novels. And, of course, every time his books go to the top of the pack, when conservative books hit the New York Times, they can't stand it at the New York Times. It's another reason why you want to buy conservative books and like Joel's new book that is just coming out now. It's out today, as a matter of fact, called Without Warning. He's a dual citizen of the U.S. and Israel. His primary residence is there in Israel. He's back in the U.S. to launch the book today. He lived in Washington, D.C. for 24 years, and I assume, Joel, you had all of your vaccinations so you could do that and stay healthy. And then you said, hey, you know what, I'm going to go and move to Israel as the primary residence, which has given you a whole lot of contacts, like Nathan Sharansky and Benjamin Netanyahu and all the way down the line. So good to have you back on the show, and congratulations on the new book, which, once again, is, I'm sure, going to be eerily prophetic in many ways.
Well, I hope not, Mark. I hope not. But yes, it's great to be with you again. And of course, I wish I was with you in person in San Diego, where I'm sure it's absolutely lovely.
Oh, we've had fog. We've had
chilly this week.
We've had fogs. We've had noisy mockingbirds. We've just been suffering through, 80 degree temperatures a lot of days. So I'll send you pictures.
God bless you. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah, I mentioned Cal Thomas. You and I met at a Cal Thomas Media Fellowship dinner in Washington, D.C. like 100 years ago, sat next to each other, and then we've been friends ever since.
So I think they were still using the telegraph at that point.
Yes, they were. Matthew Brady and Samuel F.B. Morse were also at the table with us, as I recall.
I was actually at that dinner a few weeks ago.
I was going to make it, except I got fogged in again. I couldn't make it that night.
Well, you missed a good one. Because,
I know.
Not only was it good to see Cal, and our hearts go out to him with the loss of his wife. And, of course, she's in heaven, and we're grateful for that. But the dinner was so amazing because Vice President Pence was the surprise guest.
Yep.
And you missed a good one there, but then anyway, we'll
sure rub it in. So this new book, which will be, I'm sure, another bestseller and befuddle the book editors at the New York Times, the ones who go, can we keep him off the list here? Let's talk about this, because there's a lot of lessons tied to everyday news here. Walk us through what's new.
Sure. Well, the new novel is called Without Warning, and it is about an Islamic State plot, a group of terror cells, partly refugees, partly others who've infiltrated the United States to attack not only Washington, D.C., but multiple cities around the country on the same day. Now, that's why I say I hope it's not prophetic. I'm not trying to predict the future. I'm trying to write, Mark, a thriller that will keep people up till 5 or 6 in the morning until they curse me on Twitter.
That'll do it.
Telling me that they've got to get up in an hour and they're exhausted, and I'm already getting those. So I'm happy about that, but no, it's a thriller that is very, it goes to the immediate headlines. I mean, what is the temporary travel ban about? It's about making sure that people from 6 failed Middle Eastern and African countries that are absolutely, falling apart because of radical Islamic terrorism, that there's extra vetting, that we're absolutely sure that when someone comes from those countries, they don't mean us harm, that we know who they are. That is a very reasonable and appropriate and timely
It's also constitutional.
Measure, but you have two liberal courts
right
now, just in the last 24, 48 hours, have shut it down again. This is insane. I mean, so I don't want my novel to happen. I'm glad to have a president that will call out radical Islam and is putting a team in place that is serious about protecting us.
Yeah, and I do think, and there are other experts who believe this, that you could even go to the current Supreme Court, which still has the vacancy with Scalia's passing, an 8-member instead of 9 Supreme Court, and most likely get a decision and say, you know what, the president has the right, it is constitutional. But you listen to people saying, how dare he do this? Because anyway, this premise that everyone around the world has a right to come to America whenever they feel like it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But there are people who have a lot of degrees. They tell us they're very smart, and they're on television saying, oh, no, this is so insensitive. And then they spin this thing up that it's all about the Muslim countries, the same countries that Obama had identified as being, you know, who wants to go to Yemen on a vacation? I mean, think this through, folks.
Well, look, the president did set himself up for this. He made a serious he really made a serious mistake. And it was quite offensive, actually, during the campaign when he called for a Muslim ban, because we've done the research. There is enormous amount of polling data out there in the Muslim world, and I've crunched that down with a lot of Middle East experts. And the conclusion is about 90% of Muslims worldwide are pose no threat to us, but between 7 and 10% will actually tell pollsters that they support the Islamic State and all its violence, that they support suicide bombing. You know, when you ask these certain questions, these are people openly willing to tell a pollster from Pew or Gallup or whomever that they support violence against civilians. Now, that's 7 to 10%. So the good news is, the vast majority of Muslims, 90%, are not a threat. 7-10% support this violence. It doesn't mean they're all actually going to engage in it, but that's the pool from which the radicals recruit. Now, when the president said we were trying to ban all Muslims, he created himself a serious problem. But he has corrected that. Mm-hmm. He just met with the deputy crown prince of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when a Saudi tells you you're a friend of the Muslims, that's a good sign. He met with Jordan's King Abdullah, who also supports this president and does not see this as a Muslim ban. The courts, in both opinions, in Hawaii and Maryland now, they're not actually citing the law that was written. They're citing his statements from 6-8 months ago, which were horrible, admittedly, but don't have relevance to the actual law. The law has been written very carefully and rightly to protect us from anybody from those countries.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the battle we're in, and this is what causes me to write a novel called Without Warning.
With a whole lot of warnings as to where this fictional account could be a precursor. If we don't get this right, these are the kinds of consequences. Joel C. Rosenberg with us. His latest book just out today is called Without Warning. You can find him on joelcrosenberg.com and follow his blog and follow him on Twitter and so forth. But now that you've made Israel your primary residence and being so connected and passionate about Israel, I know they feel a whole lot better under this president, at least so far, compared to the last president. But they also have learned a lot the hard way about security. They know about this whole vetting issue. You know, people say, well, you're promoting that Stand With Israel tour that is coming up this fall. I say, yeah, and I was over there a couple of years ago. I've never felt so safe in a place. Are there threats? Of course there are threats. You're surrounded by hostile neighbors. But what are some of the lessons Israel has learned as a nation state and put into play that, you know, we can follow that. We can get as good as that because we aren't as good as they are, frankly, in some levels.
We've learned a lot, and I'm new there. And I joke, Mark, as you know, that because I'm a dual U.S. Israeli citizen, I get to vote twice. It's like living in Chicago.
It is.
So that's
what, only twice?
But yes, once in each country. But you're right. We have learned a lot of lessons. One is you got to define your enemy. You can't defeat them if you don't define them. This is radical Islam, meaning that subset that are incredibly dangerous. We're not talking about the majority of Muslims. Number one. Number two, we have a wall. We actually have a security fence. It's a fence in some places, an actual concrete wall with towers and everything in other sections. This has prevented the suicide bombing pandemic that affected us a number of years ago when you could just walk into our country and radical Muslims were blowing themselves up on school buses and at cafes. And this was just horrifying. My wife and I and our kids, we live now in one of the towns that was the most hit town by suicide bombings. Mm. We are personally protected because we can see the wall that there's now there are doors.
Yeah.
There are gates that allow you to come in, but only if you're vetted, only if you're checked.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's a normal thing.
Security procedures.
Right.
But in this world of hyper politicized liberal philosophy where you say, oh, we are misunderstanding these suicide bombs.
Or that we've created it. Or that climate change. Yeah.
We're being so mean.
Yeah, or the climate change is cranked it up. Yeah, Joel Rosenberg with us. Yeah, let me ask you about this, about the wall issue, because there's one that I think of in particular, and that's around Bethlehem. It's on that one side of it. You know which one I'm talking about. It's really, it looks like Stalag 13 from the old days and this kind of thing. And I remember going in there and asking Reuven Doron, who's with Genesis Tours, and I said, so what's the deal with the wall? He said, well, you know, didn't have the wall there until there were the radicals inside Bethlehem who started taking shots, literally, at Israeli kids going to school. They didn't stop. Right. We put up the wall. So just the other day, there's a story again, people saying, oh, this wall is so imposing. It looks like we really need to remove this wall. It's like, you know what? You can trust but verify and take some time. But, you know, it's there for a reason. And by the way, it works. So
yeah, it wasn't there for the first 55 years of our existence. You can just walk back and forth from the Palestinian areas in, and I know it creates a bit of hardship for our Palestinian friends. You know, those who are peace loving Palestinians.
And yeah, I met a lot of them there, right?
And I know them exactly. Yeah. It does create some challenges, but the question is, how do you protect children and innocent civilians from snipers, from suicide bombers? This is how. Now, you just mentioned climate change for a second. I just want to mention something. We did a national survey with John McLaughlin, who does polling for Bibi Netanyahu, who did for the Trump campaign. We just rolled it out. You can find out all the details at joelrosenberg.com. But Rush picked up on it yesterday because he asked me to ask a question on this poll. And at first I laughed and he said, no, I'm serious. Because I'd asked him, I showed him the questions ahead of time. You know, are we winning or losing the war against ISIS? Most Americans think we're losing. 7 in 10 believe that ISIS is going to attack inside the United States, even with chemical weapons. But he asked me to ask in this poll, do you think is the worst threat to us? Climate change or ISIS and Iran with weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. So I laughed when he emailed me that question because I thought, okay, that's ridiculous. He said, no, you'd be surprised. Let's see how many Americans and particularly liberals think that climate change is worse. Because remember, President Obama told us in a State of the Union address a few years ago that the greatest threat to our nation was climate change. So I said, all right, I'll put it in there. Yeah. 63% of liberals believe that climate change is a bigger threat than ISIS or Iran using chemical, nuclear, biological weapons. So basically six and a half liberals believe that climate change is a bigger danger. That's why they're opposed to extreme vetting. That's why they don't want to see the defense budget go up. That's why they don't want us to take these measures that the president wants to take. And that's what I fear. I do fear radical Islam coming, but I fear more a mass number of Americans who are so blind to this threat that no matter what happened, the attacks in Orlando, San Bernardino, 9/11, Philadelphia, Paris, Belgium, Israel, Turkey, they don't see that you have to take measures. Not against all Islam, but definitely against these radicals. And you have to win. We have to fight ISIS to win,
right,
not just to stall. And that's what this novel, Without Warning, shows is what if you don't?
If you don't, these are the consequences.
Take this seriously and act decisively.
Joel C. Rosenberg with us. The new book, powerful as all of his other books are. This one may be more powerful than the others, even if you can believe that. And I can. It's called Without Warning. And if you go over to follow him, go to joelrosenberg.com. It'll link you to Twitter and Facebook. I just will retweet that study as well. This whole climate change deal, you hear people who should know better. And Obama talked about this too, kind of like, well, if we had job fairs, in the Middle East. He didn't say it exactly that way, but it's about what he was saying. Like, yeah, all these people can't get jobs, and the climate forces them to move somewhere else, and then automatically, suddenly, they join ISIS. And that's really a stretch, isn't it?
Yes. I remember it was Jen Psaki, who was the State Department spokeswoman, and she was claiming that, you know, that poverty and unemployment is the cause of radicalism. In fact, studies find that, poverty is bad. You want the Middle Eastern countries to get, you know, sort of get with it, improve their economies, improve their, give their societies more freedom. I'm all for that. But it's not actually poverty that's driving radicals to attack us and our allies. It's an ideology. It's a view of Islam that they interpret as requiring them to attack Christians, Jews, and anyone else they call infidels. That is not because they think, oh, I'll get a job at Starbucks if I attack America. They believe they're trying to impose a totalitarian Islamic system. Now, not all Muslims think this, and I give you one example, Mark. Mm-hmm. Last year, the King of Jordan, King of Abdullah, actually read not just one, but two of my novels.
Wow.
And in fact, we've gotten him the new book, Without Warning. And he was so interested in them, which include, by the way, ISIS trying to attack Jordan and overthrow him personally. That's in the series. But instead of banning me from the kingdom, he invited my wife and me for 5 days.
Wow.
To spend time with him and his top generals. We had lunch with him at the palace. We went to a military exercise with him. He had us for dinner for 2.5 hours at his personal palace the last night that I was there. So this is very interesting. A Muslim monarch, he's mm-hmm. a direct descendant mm-hmm. of Muhammad, mm-hmm. sitting with me, a Jewish, evangelical, Zionist, U.S. Israeli citizen.
All the hot button issues
that
said, come out and hang out. Well, that's why you have a unique perspective that other novelists don't have. Talking to Joel C. Rosenberg, the new book just out today is Without Warning. You need to read it. Obviously, it's read by some pretty important people, and mere mortals like us can read it as well. It's Without Warning, joelrosenberg.com. Good luck to you on this. Blessings to you, and stay safe, please, as you're out on
the
tour.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, Joel. Talk to you soon.
Great to be with you.
Thank you much. More coming up. Joel Rosenberg, it's Joel C. Rosenberg, but either one of those, or either, gets you to his website, and he's on Twitter as well, joelrosenberg.com, the new book, Without Warning. It is a warning, like, hey, we better get this together, or this fiction may turn out to be nonfiction.
The Mark Larson Show, AM 1170, The Answer.